So let me ask you a question. What does Denzel, Will Smith, Tom Brady, LeBron James, Lawrence Fishburne, James Avery, James Earl Jones, and many others have in common? Let me put it to you like this. If you had to pick the best TV dad ever, who would it be? I mean, think about it. Which TV character portrayed in sitcoms, movies, reality shows, or anything else that can be played on your television best resembles you as a dad or your dad? Ultimately, I'm asking this. Which one is the best example of what you want a father to be? These things and more on today's episode that we actually recorded last year in June of 2021, but trust me, it's still very relevant. Thank you for letting us into your homes, your cars, and most importantly, your ears. Now everybody listen up, because we've got something to say. And so with that, we want to end this episode with our top five TV dads. Now, when we say TV, we're actually not only talking about television sitcoms, but we're talking about TV to its fullest extent. Sitcoms, movies, whatever the case is, if they appear on TV, they're game for this particular portion of our episode. All right. So, top five TV dads, guys. We're going to start off with a few honorable mentions. Fellas, who do you have?
Honorable mention, I only got one honorable mention, actually. I'll just stick with one. The great Willie Jones, a.k.a. Pops, from Friday.
Okay, we could go with that.
Honorable mention, I think he's a funny movie. I love the movie, obviously. But he was a good dad. He was there. He was present. You know, he worked hard. He always, gave his son some lessons and talked to him about stuff, kept it real. It was just transparent with everything. And no holds barred. So I just appreciate him seeing him as a father. Pops, John Witherspoon, has always been a good actor to me. So I think Pops for me is an honorable mention.
Man, you think you're a man with that gun in your hand, don't you? See, back in the day, all we had was these. Yeah. But you live. You live to fight another day.
That's it.
Son, come on in here. Come on in the bathroom. Man, you can quote that guy. Now, didn't I tell you? No, wait, how did it go? Every time I'm in the kitchen. You in the kitchen. Man, that's good, man. Josh, you was about to say something?
I was going to put this guy in my fifth father, but I would say the honorable mention, I would say Fred G. Sam.
Man, that's my guy, man. That Sanford and Son is absolutely classic. Yeah. I mean, just man, what can you say? Just classic, man. We still watch the show on a regular basis here.
Oh yeah, me too.
Anytime it's on, you can watch that show, and you're gonna laugh too every time you watch it.
Yeah, you're gonna laugh, man.
It's crazy.
It's on Stars. And we watch it often. I would say I got two honorable mentions, and they don't quite fit sitcoms or movies, kind of, but they fit TV. I'm going to go with Tom Brady, of course.
What?
The GOAT.
Tom Brady? What are we doing right now?
I knew y'all was going to react like that.
What in the world?
Podcast over.
That's it. It's over.
I'm going with good old Tom Terrific and LeBron James. Those two obviously are among the best in their sports. But when you see them play the role of dad, I do think, as we mentioned earlier, when we talked about pushing the right narrative about dads, you got two great guys that do it. LeBron, man, always present with his sons, supporting the different things they do. Now he has a little girl, always supporting his little girl. Same thing with Tom. And Tom, I think, Tom has only been married once. I know people think he's been married twice. He's only been married once, but before that, he did have a kid, and then he got married, and then he has kids with his wife, and he takes care of all his kids. All right, when you see them, they're always doing great things together, all of these things. So anyway, those are my two honorable mentions, and I did find a way to plug in Tom Brady, and I'm glad that y'all looking like that, because ain't nothing you can say.
Absolutely just done.
He's the GOAT.
Tom Brady.
He's a champion, and if you keep talking and you keep motivating him, he's going to be a champion again next year. You know how that goes.
Not yet.
By the way, I just want y'all to know, Josh wasn't, he may have changed, a sports fan of LeBron James. He may be like a overall, like we've talked about LeBron on the podcast before, as far as some of his social work. So he wasn't a sports fan of LeBron James, and he's probably even a worse fan of good old Captain Tom. But Josh, past 2 years, and I love it, they just talk all pure trash about Tom and LeBron when they're playing. In the past two seasons, Josh would text me, oh, I'm telling you, I don't care what you say, LeBron ain't winning the championship. The Lakers ain't winning the championship this year. And I saw his text. You know what I did? He knows what I did. I screenshotted it. A couple of months later, Lakers win the championship. Oh, boy. Tom Brady and the Bucks get blown off the field, I think 38-3 by the Saints. You know what Josh did? Josh texted me, Super Bowl? Man, this guy ain't going to the Super Bowl. I still got the text. I think, Tans, you was a part of that one. I screenshotted it. A couple of months later, February, just dominated Patrick Mahomes. Oh, there ain't no way he could beat the Chiefs. No way he could beat Patrick Mahomes. Straight up destroying them. Nothing y'all can say. My two guys are champions. And by the way, these are Dallas Cowboy fans. I can't. I mean, you know how that goes.
Hey, listen. First of all, that Laker championship, that don't even count.
Oh.
That don't even count. I mean, we was in a pandemic. We had a virus. People, so that don't count.
Excuses.
You can't. And as far as it's going with Tom Brady, I mean, of course you can win if you cheat all the time.
Yeah.
And then you get on the team, you got all-stars on your team. Of course you're going
to
win.
How he's been to 10 Super Bowls. How many times do you have all-stars on the team like that?
Well, how many times did he cheat?
None. He ain't cheated none.
Well, he definitely cheated.
Ain't cheated none. None. Zero. Didn't cheat once. He didn't do nothing. No other quarterback. Has not done. Don't get me started. That's my guy. Talking about the referees helping win this last Super. Did y'all see that defense? Man, let's this is about dads.
Deflating balls
and Steve Young, Aaron Rodgers, what's the guy from the Steelers?
It don't matter. He cheated.
Ben Roethlisberger, they all said that they either inflate their balls above regulation standards, or they deflate. All of them came and say, man, this is something we do on a regular basis. Now, everybody, y'all just hate the guy. I know y'all, I can find it and pull it up right now. I know y'all hate winners. I know y'all got this thing about, you know, being against winners, but just relax. Your day will come. Just hang in there. Weeping may endure for a night, but your joy will come as soon as Tom Brady retire, but it'll come. So don't worry. Anyway,
I recognize he ain't making the Super Bowl this year. It's over. I'll say it now.
I ain't saying nothing. But you know, you already know. Let's go. Number five. Who we got?
I'm still Tom Brady. You just messed up this.
He's a great dad, man.
All right, listeners, we will be right back with more from this episode of the Groom's Room podcast. But first, if you have any thoughts, any ideas, suggestions, or questions, please send us an email at thegroomsroompodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Facebook or Instagram at the Groom's Room podcast. And lastly, please don't forget to subscribe and like our podcast on Apple, Google, or Spotify, or wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcast. Thank you so much. And now I'm back to this episode of the Groom's Room Podcast.
My number five, getting back to the actual countdown, Dre Johnson from Black-ish.
Oh, okay.
All yeah, right. I'm going to come up to a current TV show, Black-ish. Good show. I mean, dad's professional. I think he did a good job with his kids. I just love these last few episodes in Black-ish. They really hit on some current events, some current topics, right around the time when George Floyd's death, when he was killed, and then just dealing with even topics about systemic racism and how it exists. I think Dre Johnson, Anthony Anderson, did a great job of playing just being a father for his kids, a father who, in his sense, was successful in his work, but he never negated the fact that he would come home and help his kids and get them off, and you know, his girl and son, the older ones, went to college, and then they just they flourished, and he never negated the opportunity to sit them down and talk to them about systemic racism, being black in the corporate world, and then what it means, and you know what happens when you're betrayed based on your race. And so I mean just seeing the message that he puts out there. Now they even did a little thing just teaching about Black history and Black history people that we should know about. And you know, just I think when they took that turn and did those episodes, and him and his wife Tressie Ellis Ross had those conversations, being a doctor in the corporate world, I just thought that was cool and neat in our current world. And and then at the same time, they celebrated too. They had good times. You know, they would do celebrations for Christmas, you know, even the little costume parties for Halloween and all the different things they did for fun as a family. It just always reminds you to enjoy your family as well. So Dre Johnson is my number five.
Yes, sir.
My number five, believe it or not, is Bill Cosby.
Okay.
And I say that, I mean, and there's a few things I don't like about Bill, you know, as far as being on the show. Now, you know, what that other stuff is going on. That I ain't talking about that part.
We just talking about the show.
About the show, yeah. Man. Don't be sending us emails and messages.
Yeah. Dr. Huxtable, that's what you need to say.
But the couple, you know, one or two things that I like about his success as being a doctor.
Right.
You know, seem like, you know, they got a little money. But I like life lessons that he teaches their kids, his relationship with his son. But one thing I don't like is, because, you know, pretty much Claire Huxtable, yes. she pretty much run that house. She run that house. Yeah. But that's what I do like. He's my number five.
My number five, and it's funny, there's a couple of people I started to go with. You know, it's funny. I almost went with Ghost from Power, but it's the strangest reasons in the world. And obviously, the more I thought about it, I said, man, I can't go with Ghost.
You can go with Ghost.
No.
He was almost honorable mention for me.
Man, yeah, he had some spots there, but overall, I couldn't go with Ghost. And
why you want to go with Ghost?
Nah.
I still haven't seen Power, y'all.
Ooh wee, yeah. Man!
There you go, ooh wee.
by the way, let me throw this disclaimer in here: if you are young listening and you are younger than 18, please do not watch Power without your parents' permission. I would actually say don't watch it at all, but at least let me be perfectly honest. Let me keep us all safe to some degree. But yeah, man, you might want to watch that when the children are in bed.
But the one thing about Ghost is he had the motive of taking care of his family. He did it. It was in his own way. It wasn't legal. None of it. But he did have a mindset to make sure that he provided for his kids. And he tried to keep them away from the lifestyle, which we see didn't work.
Yeah.
Even losing the daughter and then... I don't want to be spoiler for anybody, but going into Power Book 2 and all that stuff and seeing what happened with Tariq. But I mean, he had the mind of making a better life for his kids, getting them educated.
Yeah. Oh,
getting them into school and doing better than what he did and trying to do it the right way. It just, he was too far gone. So
yeah,
I'll just stick with that.
I thought about Ghost. I even thought about Bernie Mac from his show. And that would actually go on, you know, to hit on that adopted dad, stepdad type thing, but I really wanted to keep my list specifically to guys who were raising their own children. And so I'm going to quote something from this movie, this show. It's actually from a sitcom. And there is only a small few that know this show. It's almost like I don't want to use the word cult following, but it's almost like a cult following in the way that we use it as it relates to shows and things today. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. And if you've ever watched the show, you already know who and what I'm talking about. Josh and Terrence are looking at me like, I don't have a clue. But this is my number five is actually Coach Eric Taylor from the sitcom Friday Night Lights. Friday Night Lights, not the movie, the actual sitcom. I think it debuted around 2006, 2007, about a football coach taking over a school down in Dillon, Texas. And Coach Eric Taylor, not only was he portrayed as a great dad, by the way, he's a white dad. Not that it matters, but just to throw that out there. Great husband. He had two daughters. One was college age, and then they had another daughter who, you know, years later, almost like me to some degree, he took care of them. When guys would step up to the plate to try to talk to his daughter, he was that rough dad that you don't play around. But I will say, and another good thing about him, he was really a dad to the community, man. Obviously, he was an amazing coach. Dad, he became a father figure to many of those players, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, didn't matter. When you were on that football field, man, he embraced you as a son. And those things really stood out to me about him. And I would dare say, listen, if you have not seen Friday Night Lights, I am telling you, it is an amazing sitcom. You just got to, you know, I used to say, if you want action, start with season four. That's when Michael B. Jordan actually came into the series. Or you can just go back to season one, episode one, and build from there. But I love it. Now, one thing I will say is one thing I didn't like about him is there was this scene, maybe season three, season four. Yeah, probably season three, where his daughter is dating his starting quarterback. They call him QB1, Matt Saracen. So he was not happy about it, but, you know, they let the relationship go on. One day, the daughter was over Matt Saracen's house, and the dad was there to pick her up. Dad gets out his truck, walks to the door, knocks on the door, doesn't hear an answer. He opens the door, walks in, and to the left of the front door is Matt Saracen's bedroom, and his daughter was getting dressed. Matt Saracen was laying in the bed. She was naked. Coach walks out the house and goes to sit in the truck. I'm pretty sure I would handle that a lot differently. You see what I'm saying? My starting quarterback laying in the bed and my daughter is naked getting dressed. So stuff like that, I'm kind of like, see Josh shaking his head. Yeah, I probably would handle that a little differently. So you know, some of those things, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know about that. As far as what age they were, I think they were both seniors in high school at the time, just for the record. But anyway, that's my number five. All right, let's keep this going. Number four. Who you got for number four?
My number four is Fred Sanford. I know he was mentioned before, but I put him in my top five. Fred Sanford, and, you know, he always talked about coming and going home, having that heart attack, going home to see Elizabeth. You know, so obviously his wife died, Lamont's mother died. But he was still there, him and Lamont. No matter what he said, you know, he was going to pick on Lamont, fuss at him, cuss at him, give him a hard time, tell him what he's not. But, he knew it was love at the end of the day with Fred. And as a father, he always was there to help his son out. And, you know, they were business owners. You know, they had that business. And so it's nothing like seeing a great father, you know, black father, black son, own the business and working together, collaborating on that. So, you know, obviously, Fred, you know, he had his quirks. Now, he was no nonsense. But I think that he was a good father and a good TV dad to kind of just watch and enjoy. You know, you got to see the humor in life, too.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Everything can't be all serious and just, you know, a bunch of deep discussion and everything. You can have fun and talk and discuss. And obviously, you know, when you say something that was a growth area for him, use that language would be, you know, him talking to other people, Aunt Esther, and all them.
Boy, the way he used to do Aunt Esther, man, goodness gracious.
She would go back at him, though. She didn't play.
Yeah, man.
I used to get my best jokes from Fred Sanford. And I still remember all of them.
Or the Puerto Ricans that moved in next door.
Oh my goodness,
man. He didn't play, man. You know what? An interesting dynamic about him. Sometimes you hear stories where the mom is no longer here, whether she died or she went to jail, whatever the case is. And then you still have dads who won't take care of the kids.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? They still like, hey, but let the grandparents take care of the kid or whatever the case is, the aunt, the uncle, the sister, the brother. But he is a great example of somebody who's like, no, that's my son. Mom has done went to heaven and all this stuff, but now I'm going to be here to take care of my son, period. So I think he's a great example.
Even though Lamont was a grown man.
that's another interesting dynamic.
They had a business. They lived there.
Oh, you where they work? Oh, I work in commodities. Oh, you mean junk. Yeah, man, that was good, though.
Well, my fourth dad is Daddy's Little Girls.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Played by Idris Elba.
Yeah, Monty. Yeah. They call him his name Monty. Yeah, man. That was, you know, he's top five. Three little girls, man. You can just only imagine how you feel about your girls being raised up in a place where children should not be raised up in. So he wants to keep his girls, and then his girls getting beat. Oh man, and every time I watch it, I get mad, get the sweat.
Man, I'm like, man. I don't need to watch that. I'm just gonna start firing the gun in the air for no reason. Find me a tree and go to the target practice, man. Goodness gracious.
And so, you know, and that lets you know, because I don't know if y'all remember the movie, pretty much the end of the movie where the girls came to the house late at night and find out that the man had beat on one of the kids. And so he pretty much blanked out and went and drove off and slammed the car into their car, into the parents' car, and started fighting. I mean, when it comes out to your kids, man, it's just, I blank out.
Yeah.
With stuff like that. Then there's girls at that. I mean, we protect our boys too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but just girls, man. Oh,
man. Yeah.
But yeah, he made it to my top five.
Okay. All right. So my number four is the guy who made calling a person's name probably the most infamous or famous thing ever on a sitcom. Steve! From Family Matters. Carl Winslow, played by Reginald Vail Johnson, I think is how he pronounced his last name. So there's some things I don't like about him, but there's some things I do. Obviously, he was a cop. And if you follow the sitcom, I think it was through nine seasons. Nine. They started in 84, I believe. No, I'm sorry. They started in 89 and went to 98. Bill Cosby started in 84 and went to 92. So they had nine seasons, and he showed you being a blue-collar worker, started off just as a regular police officer, worked his way up to sergeant, eventually worked his way up to police captain and all those things. So you were able to follow a guy who worked. That's one thing I liked about him. When Steve became like the main guy, there was this dynamic between him and Steve where that was always comical, and Steve would always break something or do something, and where Carl would get just aggravated and things like that. But he was no nonsense with Eddie. Like his son, he didn't play, man. Hey, he didn't. If you watch those episodes, when it came to his son, he did not play. And that is one thing I can say I can respect about him. Now, whoopings and spankings was not mainstream, was not something that you put on television in the 90s. Probably still should have been, but it wasn't. But he played his son, punished his son, kicked the son out the home, or whatever the case was. Carl Winslow will walk up to Eddie, be like, man, who you think you're talking to? And like, you got to go back and see those things. He always, man, he showed how to be a great husband, constantly loved Harriet Winslow, brought his mom in the home, took care of his mom, his sister-in-law. You just name it. I really do appreciate Carl. He did get a little too comical for me, probably after about season three. then he became the guy who, like I said, they start portraying the guys as being the weak one. And then all of a sudden, Harriet is now the strong one in the family and not the dad. And one thing I can say about Daddy's Little Girls is I know everybody loves Tyler Perry and he does a few great things, but he doesn't always portray the black man in the best light, man. I mean, seriously, yeah, when it comes to a strong black masculine man, we do not get portrayed in the best light when it comes to him. But I think he did pretty well with Daddy's Little Girl. So my number four is Carl Winslow, Captain Carl Winslow from the sitcom Family Matters. All right, let's keep going. Who you got for number three?
And number three is Carl Winslow. That's crazy.
And you know what's funny? This is a good place for me to say this. We do not know what we're going to say. We do these things where when we do these lists, we keep our list secret. We don't know who's on each other's list and things like that. And so that's funny. Carl Winslow.
I said Carl Winslow because similar reasons to what you said. I mean, he worked the ranks, became a captain. He was no nonsense with his kids, obviously, Eddie and Laura and Judy. Until she disappeared.
Yeah, Judy did mysteriously disappear.
we don't know where she went. She went upstairs and was gone. But, you know, I think with Eddie, one of the scenes I remember was when Eddie was profiled by some other cops.
Sir, I remember
And, you know, it was at the Rachel shop. And so he went home, told his dad, and Carl was going to handle it his own way. And he finally ended up doing it. But there was a scene at the home when Eddie did not really think that his dad was supporting him and understood what really was going on and how he was being profiled. And they had a powerful conversation. And Carl had to let him know, like, I do understand. I support you. At first, he questioned him. It was like, you know, so what did you do or what was said? But at the end of the day, he knew that he was going to support his son and show that love. Yeah. And it was that tough love and just kind of keeping him honest. Like, look, you need to understand that this is the perspective and perception of people and that they may have a black men. But no matter if I'm a cop, I'm still a black man myself. And I understand I'm going to teach you how to handle it. And but Eddie at the time just didn't understand it. But at the end of that scene, Carl did go and address his colleagues, which is, I can imagine, a very challenging thing to address people you, quote unquote, that you work with and address them in a way that, you know, I don't care who you are, you know, you messing with my kids, you messing with me. And so I do remember that scene where Carl took care of his colleagues, let them know that won't happen again. And I can only imagine how much emotions and how fired up he was. He reserved it for when he was talking to Eddie about it. But when he went on his own and addressed it with those officers, he definitely let them know that it won't happen again. And we can go all day about Family Matters and how good the show was. I think we all watched those and remember those TGIF days.
Yes, sir, man.
Yeah, Carl Winslow.
Full House, Step by Step.
Yeah.
And even maybe, man, a couple of those dads could have been honorable mentions or made people's lists. I don't know. Okay, Josh, who you got for number three?
Number three is John Q.
Oh, okay. Yes,
that's a good one. Good one.
Okay.
That was a good movie, man. I don't know if y'all remember our audience, if you remember anything about John Q. Denzel was playing the father of a kid that needed a transplant. I think it was a heart transplant. He somehow went from, I think he lost his job or they cut his hours or something, cut his insurance or something. So it wasn't his insurance wasn't able to cover for the heart transplant that his son needed. And so he was willing to go beyond to get that heart for his son. And sometimes in life, you know, you got to suffer so your child can not lack anything.
Right.
We don't want our children to lack. I ain't gonna say I always think about that, but you know, it's always when I do watch that movie that always comes to mind that, you know, I will if I have to lack, I will make sure my children won't lack. So we have to make sacrifices for our kids. That made it to the top. John Q made it to the top five.
Yes, sir. My number three is, I mean, if I quote him, I can quote him so many different times. I was looking up some quotes. Any man with a blank can make a baby, but only a real man can raise his children. I think y'all know where I'm going with. If you recall this guy, he used to sit in the corner and listen to his son tell stories with those silver balls he would turn in his hands. Just listen to the
story. Boys in the Hood.
Yeah. Jason Furious Styles. Yeah, they called him Furious.
Yeah.
That is played by Lawrence Fishburne. That's my number three. Early on, if you haven't seen Boys in the Hood, it is rated R for those who are younger. Make sure you have parents' permission if you watch it. But man, you're talking about a story. Goodness gracious. Now, there's a part of me that relates to Boys in the Hood because, man, I lived in the hood. First to second grade, man, I lived in the hood. The hood. We had a shooting every day. People were getting shot every day. It seemed like it was around the same time every day. About 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, all the kids would be out playing in the park area. And all of a sudden, pop, 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 pop. That's all you heard. Then all the sirens going off. All you saw was everybody just start running. That's all we knew, just to run and get in the house. Man, it was crazy living in the hood. And so there's a large portion of this that I could relate to. And Lawrence Fishburne playing Furious took his son in. His mom was basically like, you know, I need you to get him for a while. And he took him in, raised him, spent time with him, starting to tell him about the birds and the bees pretty early. Didn't let his son get away with stuff. And even though they lived in a bad neighborhood and he knew that some of his son's friends were kind of like going down a different path, he would not let his son go down that path himself. He was determined that his son was going to be somebody. And I can respect that particular role that Lawrence Fishburne played in Furious Styles and Boys in the Hood. And there's a lot more I could get into about that, but I'm not. But that would be my number three. So we're down to each of our last two guys about our top five TV dads. So number two, who you got?
My number two, it was kind of a tie. I was trying to figure out if I wanted to put him at number one or my number one at number two. He was at number one, but I'm going to put it at number two. And I'm going to quote one of the sayings of what, you know, everybody else always say, you deliberately disobeyed.
Yes, sir.
What was that? That's Lion King.
Yeah. Josh, I can show you. I don't know if you can see it, but he's here on my list. I just didn't put him in my top five, man.
Yeah, Mufasa was the man. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Mufasa was the man.
Yeah.
He was the babe. Obviously, him and his son had a good relationship,
yeah.
Simba. And, you know, he teach him how to be a lion, how to be a king, pounce, show him how to pounce, what lions do. Amen. He protect his son. I mean, he died trying to protect his son, but everything, he won't know fun.
What did he say? Everything that the son touches is art?
Yeah.
Is that the quote, man? Man, goodness, man. I can't. I know somebody might be like, man, y'all talking about a cartoon. This is our list. This ain't yours. You make your own list.
That's man, right.
That's right. No, Mufasa is real, man.
Mufasa was real, man.
Yes, sir, man. Yeah. I can get with that.
So, yeah, that's me. He made it to my top five.
All right.
That's a good one. I'm going to stay on the same lines as King. And this is my quote. My son works.
I knew you was going there.
Yes, sir.
I knew you was going there.
Yep, King Joffrey, man. Yeah. Same thing. He was good, man. I think, we talked about this in another episode, but Coming to America. But I mean, just the royalty of King Joffrey and Eddie Murphy as a prince and Zamunda, that whole thing. He was on it. He didn't play. You know, he was sure that people knew he was royalty and his family was too. And he was going to make sure that legacy continues. So I'm all about ensuring that, you know, we have a legacy that we pass on. And he even when he came over, you know, the McDowell's, the house, you know, McDowell owned that restaurant or not, but to him, it didn't mean nothing to him.
Nothing.
He was like, I don't know who you are. You don't mean nothing to me. I'm here to get my son who shouldn't be here amongst you all. But, you know, and it's not saying to be arrogant, but it's saying, you know, you got to know your worth, know who you are. And that's something I see in Joffrey as a father that he instilled in his son. So, I mean, that's pretty similar. As a king, you know, we got to be kings raising kings. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. And you know what? Coming to America is a classic. And it sucks that they redid it. And you know what? It really doesn't suck that they redid it. It just sucks that the second part was so bad. Like, it, I hated it. I was like, this
it wasn't
is,
that bad.
Man, I could have wrote a better movie, I promise. It was horrible, man. I was like, what is this? There was no consistency in the plot line, in the scenes, that the switching back and forth. I'm like, one scene, Eddie Murphy's in New York at the barbershop. The very next scene, he's back in Zamunda. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't like it, man. I thought it could have been done way better.
But I think they just wanted to make sure that we paid homage to those old characters.
Man.
It was good to see them all again.
Man, they had a chance to hit a home run. They blew that. But anyway, I can get with that, man. Yes, sir, the king. My number two is going to be Bill Cosby. In particular,
Dr. Huxtable.
Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable. As I mentioned earlier, the Cosby Show debuted 84, and I think it closed out in 92. And when you hear people talk about the show, and again, I guess I should throw this disclaimer in here too. You know, we're not talking about things that Bill Cosby has done and who is currently in jail for. Right? We talk about those things later. We're just talking about the specific television role that he played. When you hear people talk about The Cosby Show, man, one of the things is it was so mainstream that everybody watched it. When you go to the shows in the 70s, you had Sanford and Son, right? But it was basically a poor dad, a single dad who didn't really have an education. Yeah, What's Happening? You had the mom raising her son and daughter. The dad was not in the home and she was barely making it. But when you get to The Cosby Show, man, you have like one of the first times in, you know, black sitcom history, the dad is wealthy. He's a doctor. The mom is wealthy. She's a lawyer. You have a first class family, being a first class black family being portrayed on TV. That was a big deal. Because when we talk about changing the narrative, that helped show a lot of people, hey, you know what? We can be a first class family. We can make money. We can send all our kids to college and pay for it out of pocket. I mean, we can be successful. The dad can be a businessman. And in season one, he was that tough dad. You know, everybody loved that scene where he tells Theo, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You don't want to be successful because you refuse to try, or whatever the quote is. So we all love that aspect about him. And different things. Where he would, you know, he would get on his daughters and definitely their boyfriends. You know, he made it tough for him. And how he honored his dad, that was something, man. You know, every time his dad came around, he made sure to honor his own father. And it really put the black family in a great spot on television. Now, man, again.
You remember that episode? I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
You remember that episode of when the oldest daughter, was it the oldest daughter? No, not oldest daughter. What was the middle daughter's name?
Denise.
Not Denise.
Vanessa.
Yeah. When she was about to get married to that guy.
Oh, the older guy?
Yeah. And Cliff Huxtable was like, what did he say? He said, he said you brought, pretty much he did a scenario where you brought this man here, like bringing a steak on a trash can lid. Yeah. Or something. He was
there. I wish I could remember that guy's name, but he was older. He was pretty much seemed like a well-off dude, but he was I can't even remember how much older he was than her, but they were not too happy about that, man. Vanessa used to get in a lot of trouble, or even the episode when she went to that party and they found out she went to or a concert or party and they put the couch right in front of the front door. So when she walked in, they were the first ones that she saw, man.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And so that's, but like I said, he got too comical eventually. Like and Claire Huxtable became more of the backbone of the family. And I don't really like those things, because to me, the man has to be the man. He's going to be the strong guy, right? That's how I was raised. That's what I believe, and that's what I believe biblically, actually. But I will say that he did enough to be number two for me, which leads us to our top. Everybody got number one. And I'm kind of curious to see if we're going to have the same guy or any of the same people. Number one should resemble the dad that is your favorite TV dad, but the dad that you most likely see yourself in some ways, or see your own dad in some ways, and things like this. I mean, he's number one for a reason. So, number one, who you got?
Let me start here. My 1B is Dr. Huxtable, but I knew he was going to come up a few times, so you guys gave great explanations about that. But my number one, 1A, my number one TV dad would be Philip Banks. That's who I'm going with. Okay. I think Uncle Phil. Will, but, dad Philip Banks, hands down, he knew what it meant. He was very successful. Lawyer, judge, did a great job. Great husband to Aunt Viv. The original Viv was my fave. And, you know, raised Carlton and Hillary and Ashley.
Yeah.
And little Nikki too at some point. Yeah. But I think just seeing him, and you referenced that scene earlier with Will Smith and the interaction they had. And he, in that scene, he told him, like, look, you think this is all I am is what you see now is success. You know, I've been where you've been. I know what you're talking about. So he had that edge where he understood where he came from and never forgot that. You know, he gave his family a great life, but he never forgot his experiences as a black man growing up, the challenges. He was even from, I don't know if you remember the scene, but he was from North Carolina.
Oh, I don't remember Uncle that. Phil, remember his mom, though.
Yeah, when they came, they had played that story about him being, or her being from North Carolina. But yeah, so Uncle Phil's my favorite. There's so many, you know, great scenes with him, you know, no nonsense. You know, he would lose his temper, yell, but then he also knew how to have a good time. He, you know, he didn't play around with the friends. Every episode he threw jazz out.
Yeah, jazz, yeah.
Even with Carlton and all that too. So, but yep, Uncle Phil.
Yeah, I could deal with Uncle Phil, man. I want to say he slapped them boys upside the head a couple times. I might be confusing it with somebody else, but man, Uncle Phil was definitely a hit, man. And back to even just with Bill Cosby, the success. He was a lawyer at first, right? Then I think he became a judge.
Yeah.
I mean, like, man, you're talking about, again, portraying a black man, a black family, and goodness gracious, their mansion was probably bigger than Bill's, I think. You look at the Cosby home and the Banks home, goodness gracious. Yeah, they had a big home. And Bill and them lived in New Jersey. And of course, Philip Banks and them lived in Bel Air. They lived out in Cali. Man, that's a good number one. All right. Yes, sir, Josh.
All right. My number one is the great James Epps.
Oh, my God.
That's a good one, too,
that's
man.
That's a good one.
Great James Evans, the patriot of the family. You know, James, he didn't play. He was a disciplinary, you know, he definitely disciplined his kids. Of course, you know, couldn't find like a good job or whatever or whatnot, but he was always trying to provide for his family. Yeah, James Evans definitely is my number one.
Yes, sir. My number one is James Evans.
How did I know?
I had to feel, I said, he has to be everybody's number one to some degree, or at least I figured he'd be more than just mine. There's one thing about growing up with a strong man in the home, the security you feel as a child.
Yeah.
That no matter what happens, my daddy got it.
Yeah.
That is the protection. That is the strength that James gave his family. That you act up, I'm going to spank you. I think In Good Times is one of the last times where they actually talked about disciplining a child to, you know, physically when it comes to, we call it whoopings, but spankings and things like that. But he did it. He ain't play. He was no nonsense, but he would also joke with his kids. He would have fun. He showed what it was like to be a man and to love your wife. All right. Love your wife the right way. And it would have been like, he would have been just like an all-star if they would have showed how he was successful and, you know, got his family out of the ghetto and all those things. But that's not what the show is about. in the 70s when the show was created, they were portraying the real life that a lot of Black families lived in during that time. And when you actually like do some research about the show, a lot of TV executives and producers, they hated it. They hated it. They did not like these portrayals. And they were, but James Evans and others, they were like, y'all want the real things that we deal with? These things that we do on TV, they're real. They're what the Black family goes through. But I admire his nonstop desire to work. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to pay this bill. It seemed like every other episode was, man, we need money to pay the light bill. We need money to buy groceries. And you know what? He came through every time.
Right.
He came through every time. And he was clear, man. One thing about being a good dad is the sacrifices you have to make. And I think Josh mentioned this earlier. Even if you have to go without, your children will not go without. That was James Evans. There were times he was like, hey, you know what? I might not be able to eat, but y'all go ahead and eat. I might have to work super late tonight, but if that means I'm going to be able to take care of y'all, or one of the children gets sick or something like that, I'm going to be able to pay the doctor's note, whatever it is. And trust you me, he didn't play. And my aunt and then would say, he didn't play the piano. Or he didn't play the harp. He didn't play the guitar, whatever you want to say. They always use that kind of metaphorically to say, nah, you don't play with that guy. And I can only imagine having a dad like James Evans when it comes to just that security that a child has to feel that, you know what? My dad has it. Something go wrong, my daddy got it. Something go wrong in the neighborhood, my daddy's here. Something go wrong in school, my daddy got it. You know what I'm saying? We don't have the money to pay the light bill. My daddy's going to take care of it. Open up the refrigerator and there's only bread in there. Don't worry. By the end of the day, my daddy's going to make sure. And this, I want to be clear. This is not in any way overlooking the role the mom played in any kind of way. We're just talking about dads. So James Evans would definitely be my number one TV dad. Anything else, gentlemen?
Nope. That's it for me.
No, unless you want to talk about Ghost some more.
Hey, if you have not seen Power,
I'm just
go watch it. Matt, I mean, but you know what? Let me throw the disclaimer out there. Power ain't for everybody. So if you, it just ain't for everybody. Watch the first episode and you're like, this ain't my kind of show, go ahead and cut it off. We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. If you have any questions or feedback, please send us an email to thegroomsroompodcast@gmail.com, and maybe your questions and your comments will be addressed on one of our upcoming episodes. Also, please consider subscribing to our podcast so that you may be notified of all the latest available downloads. Now remember, these are our thoughts, our opinions from our perspective, and this is our platform. We'll see you next week on the Groom's Room Podcast.